Hello, and welcome to our podcast, Winning in Life with Dr. Fred and Linda Hodge. Through their 34 years of marriage and ministry to people, they have developed tremendous knowledge and insight in cultivating people for success in life. Get ready to hear motivational conversations and discussions on transformation that will help you reach your goals and live your dreams.
Hello, today Winning in Life episode is Change Your Thinking. Let me start off with a powerful story that I read. Once upon a time, there was a woman about 30 years of age, married with two children. Like many people, she had grown up in a home where she was constantly criticized and often treated unfairly by her parents. And as a result, she developed deep feelings of low self-esteem. She was negative and fearful and had no confidence at all. One day, as she was driving to the store, another car went through a red light and smashed into her. When she awoke, she was in the hospital with a mild concussion and complete memory loss. She could still speak, but she had no reconciliation of any part of her past life. She was total anesthetic. At first, the doctors thought it would be temporary, but weeks passed and no trace of her memory returned. Her husband and children visited her daily, but she did not know them. This was such an unusual case that other doctors and specialists came to visit her as well to test her and ask her questions about her condition. Eventually, she went home, her memory a complete blank. Determined to understand what had happened to her, she began reading medical textbooks and studying in the specialized area of anesthesia and memory loss. She met and spoke with specialists in the field. Eventually, she wrote a paper on her condition. Not long afterwards, she was invited to address a medical convention to deliver her paper, answer questions about her anesthesia, and share her experiences and ideas on neurological functioning. During this period, something amazing happened. She became a new person completely. All the attention in the hospital and afterwards made her feel valuable, important, and truly loved by her family. The attention and acclaim she received from members of the medical profession built her self-esteem and self-respect even higher. She became a genuinely positive, confident, outgoing woman, highly articulate, well-informed, and very much in demand as a speaker and authority in the medical profession. All memory of her negative childhood have been wiped out. Her feeling of inferiority was wiped out as well. She became a new person. She changed her thinking and changed her life.
Wow, that's a wonderful story. It explained a lot of principles. And if we pay attention to the story, it'll give us some things that we're able to utilize ourselves. Because everything you are today is a result of an idea or an impression you took in and accepted as your personal truth. When you believe something to be true, it becomes true for you, whatever the fact may be. You are not what you think you are, but what you think you are.
If you was raised by parents who continually told you what a good person you were, who loved you, encouraged you, supported you, and believed in you no matter what you did or didn't do, you would grow up with the belief that you were a good and valuable person. By the age of 3, this belief would lock in and become a fundamental part of the way you view yourself in relation to your world. Therefore, no matter what happened to you, you would hold to this belief. It would become your reality.
If you were raised by parents who did not know how powerful their words and behaviors could be in shaping your personality, they could very easily have used destructive criticism or, you know, constant disapproval, physical and emotional punishment to control you.
When a child is continually criticized at any early age, he soon concludes that there is something wrong with him. He doesn't understand which it is that he has been criticized or punished, but he assumes that his parents know the truth about him and that he deserves it. He begins to feel that he is not valuable or lovable. He is not worth very much. He must therefore be worthless.
Wow, that's powerful. Well, I just want to read something from a scripture that I was reading the other day in my own meditation time. It was found in Ephesians 4:29. I think this will be valuable to all my listeners. It says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." Now, that's very powerful, because the voice of condemnation in a person's mind is actually corrupt communication. So the things you've learned along the way, the things you've heard credible authorities say, the things you picked up from your environment or listened to society as they've spoken certain things that mess with your self-esteem, and now you're repeating it, it becomes an echo in your mind. This is all condemning thoughts and condemning and corrupt communication. And the scripture actually tells us not to allow corrupt communication to proceed out of our mouths to others, and not to ourselves as well. It says only to minister things that will build you up. So communication should be good, communicative things that actually make you feel good about yourself and that will build you up and give you the capacities to succeed in life. Good communication will minister grace. That means favor, benefit, advantage, ability, and enablement. So you don't want to grieve your spirit, but you want to build up and promote your own spirit so you can finish the vision and the dreams that are in your heart. So it's critical that you change your thinking about yourself. Well, today I have with me one of my sons. I call him my son in the faith. He is over our Rock Now ministry. That is a ministry to our teenagers, to our church. And he's dealt with a lot of teens, and he's been instrumental in changing the lives of teenagers. And he used to be, of all things, an ex-gang member. I tell you, he's a gangster for Jesus right now. So I just want to ask him, Denny, what do you have to tell any parent out there who's going through with a problem teen? How should they handle it? Should they be using their parents' old systems and ways of trying to bring their children under control? Sometimes that is using negative connotations, or using physical means to bring their children under control. What would you say to parents out there that's having problems with their teens?
Well, I think for starters, I don't think that there's a cookie cut method, so to speak. I think each teen has their own individual attributes, and their own there's a specific way for each teen. Now I really understand the old mantra that it says it takes a village to raise a child.
Absolutely.
So I think in addition to, you know, parents, love has to be the foundation of everything. A lot of times as parents we get frustrated, we get irritated, but at the end of the day we have to look to love, and we have to love our children through either the wrong choices that they make, the bad decisions that they make. You know, we have to love them through, and we have to talk them and guide them through, and then also place them in environments where people are doing the same or similar things as it relates to, you know, to loving on the child and you know, pressing to help them get through whatever situation or whatever bad choices that they're making currently.
Well, I'm gonna say something about what you just said, because you pointed parents to the choice of loving their children despite their behavior. And I want to say what scripture says about that, because it says that love conquers all things. It's one of the most powerful elements in the Word of God. It even says that after gifts have ceased and prophecies have ceased, love will remain till the end. It will never cease. And when you brought that up, whoever are dealing out there with problem teens, you have to look through the behavior, because the behavior is a communication. Behavior is nothing more than a language, right, that is saying, I need attention, I need your love, I need your help, I'm in a bad situation. And if we're not reading their behavior properly and we're taking personal offense to their behavior, our first response will not be a response of love. So I'm telling you, for a gangster who've been out there on the street, and to talk about love means that you must have went through some great transformation yourself, meeting this God who loved you despite what you've been through.
Right. Yeah, definitely. You know, like my dad, I would say he loved me the best way he could. But then again, there were a lot of things that I cried out for, primarily as it related to my relationship with my mom. And, you know, him being my dad, like he probably really didn't understand that aspect of it. You know, I had women that were in my life, such as my aunts, my stepmom, that tried to step in and fill that void, but you know, nonetheless, it was still a void there. And, you know, as I started to do a lot of things, a lot of crazy things and hook up with, you know, some of my friends in the streets, you know, we all kind of understood that we were going through similar things. It may not have been the exact same thing, but there was always a void that we were looking to fill. You know, coming up in the streets, initially we thought girls and money would fulfill that thing, and it didn't. And you know, when God finally got his hands on me, I started to understand that love. And then, you know, going back to the it takes a village to raise a child, you know, once I started coming into the church, everybody that was in the church was, you know, was loving on me. Like, I didn't come up from a church background. You know, my parents didn't take me to church or things like that coming up. So when I got to the church, I wasn't necessarily worried about people rejecting me because of my background, because a lot of people didn't really know. I mean, when I first got to the church, they would see, you know, like me, I think I came in on crutches or a cane or something. You know, they would see the bullet wounds and hear the stories and stuff like that, but they really wouldn't understand the severity of the whole situation. And just the people in the church, they just loved on me, you know, despite me making mistakes. And, you know, you definitely know, Pastor, because we've had conversations over the years.
Absolutely.
You know, nobody's really turned their back on me. Nobody's turned their back on me. Everybody's always been open and embracing. And I think that is what helped me see God's love, is that I saw it through people. Despite what I was going through, despite what I was dealing with, despite all the mistakes I made, even after I made the commitment to live my life for the Lord.
That's very powerful. I'm going to say this because I think if we should have listeners who have come across this podcast who are dealing with loneliness and dealing with rejection or feeling outside of a community that is actually ministering to them and empowering them to live their dreams, to live their visions, to live their purpose, I think this is quite an answer, that there is a tribe out there for them. There is a community. There is a church. There is a village of people that will embrace them and speak into their life and replace what was missing emotionally and maybe informationally, so that that person can heal and then grow and then go, because you have to grow before you go. Right. And so what you said about that, and I've watched your success over the years. I've watched you come in and just feed and receive the love and receive your community, which then in turn healed you up, caused you to grow in your character and become a mature person, to where now you're going into all the world. Now you're touching other people. And I think this is something that people miss. In order for you to really fulfill your purpose, there needs to be a healing that takes place on the inside of you. And God has orchestrated to where others have something to do with that healing. And I just appreciate you being here on the program. It's been exceptional having you here. So if you have any last words for anybody out there that may be dealing with the teenagers, we know that love is the major answer for our community, for the human race. We know that we can't do it by ourselves. We need each other, and we've been made by God to be interdependent. And so many of us have so many different gifts and so many different things to offer each other, that we have to recognize when we need to feed from each other. The fruit is not there for itself. when the fruit is now ready and ripe to be eaten, it doesn't turn around and eat itself. The fruit is for somebody else to eat. So your fruit is for me, my fruit is for you. We're there to feed one another. So if you have any parting words for anybody out there that may be listening, any parent that may need help, or anybody that's suffering some type of emotional trauma because they're going through this consistent thinking that they're of no significance, they have no value, nobody needs, wants, or loves them, what could you say to them?
Ooh, wow. Well, I've heard you say this over the years, and that would be, don't do life by yourself.
Ha!
You know, for the parents, don't feel that you have to raise your child by yourself. There are family members who have an ability to anchor into that child and pull out the greatness. There are people, you know, you can talk to God and ask God to direct you to the people that will be able to extract all the greatness out of that child. You know, I mean, you can even reach out to me, you know, via Living Praise, and I'll be willing to sit down and talk with the child, talk with you. But at the end of the day, you have to find something about that child that you can love, and then let that love boil over into everything that you may feel that you hate or you despise or you dislike. And you know, like the scripture says, let love cover it. Love covers a multitude of sin. And so let love be the catalyst for everything that you want your child to do, that you want your child to be, and everything that you want your family to be. It has to be a foundation of love there.
That is incredible. That's an incredible word. I want you all to remember, love never fails. Love covers a multitude of sin. Love will heal. And so we want you now to take these parting words and, first of all, love yourself. So many people can't love others because they have self-hatred for themselves. I need you to heal. If you're a person listening to me now and you have a self-disdain, we need you to know that there's greatness in you. There's love for you. You got to get beyond this place where you're rejecting yourself. Begin to embrace yourself and allow God to heal you. Well, this podcast is coming to an end. If it's been a blessing to your life today, I want you to invite a friend to listen in and then hashtag Winning in Life Podcast. Until next week, remember, you always win in life.
I hope you enjoyed this thought-provoking podcast with Dr. Fred and Linda Hyde. Please join us for another episode of Transformation Mentoring that will propel you forward into your legacy. Be sure to visit our website for upcoming events and tools that will help you obtain your dreams. The address is transformationmentoring.org. Connect to our social media. Grab a free gift when you subscribe to our list. Until next time, be transformed.